Previously in A Fond Kiss by Alice Dale, Craig's mother Philippa had permission from David Mackey, the second head, to take time off school to visit her severely burned son. She made a harrowing 2-day journey from Glasgow to Dover to visit him in hospital, relieved only by the company of Steve, a cheerful young soldier.
The train reached London at 8 p.m. instead of 5 p.m. due to so many delays on the way and an unexplained stop for an hour at Preston. No sign of food anywhere. Not even the magazine stalls were open, but with all the blacked-out lights it would have been impossible to read anyway. The information boards were blank with no mention of a connection to Dover. Steve was guiding her as they peered around in the darkness until at last they found a waiting room, well named, for they had to wait there all night. A loud echoing voice wakened Philippa at 6:45 a.m. and she realized she'd been sleeping with her head on Steve's shoulder and his head on top of hers. They extricated themselves and exchanged a smile. It was an announcement saying that the train to Dover would be leaving at 7:30 a.m. They stood up together and were stretching their tired bodies, then stopped when the announcement continued.
This train is for servicemen only. If not wearing uniform, proof of identity will be necessary.
Well, you're okay anyway, Philippa said, patting his arm. When you're shooting that gun of yours, make sure you get the one that shot down my son.
I promise. Oh, sorry I have to leave you, Mummy, but I've no choice.
He quickly kissed her cheek and was gone. With a sad smile, she watched him, looking so young and lithe, running towards the platform. She said a silent prayer for his survival. The next train didn't leave till 1 p.m. The magazine stalls had opened, so at least she was able to purchase a newspaper. And she was grateful to see a station cafe opening its doors at 8:30 a.m. She had a watery coffee and an appropriately named rock bun. She was glad she didn't have false teeth to break on it. Philippa opened her newspaper and settled back for the long wait. Only good news was being reported, with the occasional reference to one of our aircraft is missing. She felt a pang of guilt as she acknowledged she was glad Craig had been shot down and survived, and that never again would one of our aircraft is missing apply to her son. She managed to get a seat on the train this time, and it reached Dover in little over an hour. She went straight to the guard standing on the platform and asked if he knew how to get to Buckland Hospital. "Ooh, Buckland. I'm from up north, but I think it's a bit less than 2 miles from here. You've missed the 2 o'clock bus, love. There won't be another till 5. Still determined, Philippa said, "I'll just have to walk then. Could you point me in the right direction?" "Of course, love. Just follow that road. You can't miss it," he said, pointing to the road below. It was a warm day, and she was glad she'd decided to travel light with only minimum clothing and basic toiletries. The heaviest thing was the paper bag with Craig's favourite in it, a home-baked apple pie she'd enjoyed making with Irene last night, using most of their week's rations. Exhausted by the two-train journey and the all-night wait in London, she walked slower than usual, and towards the end had gradually started bending over with painful legs and back. The guard was right. You couldn't miss it. It was a dour-looking building, more like a prison than a hospital. It had previously been a workhouse, not intended to be homely or welcoming. Now she straightened up and lifted her head as she walked towards the grey building. Unlike the entrance to most hospitals, there was a door more like a house door. She knocked, and quite quickly an attractive young nurse answered. "My name is Philippa Stebbings. My son, Flight Lieutenant Craig Stebbings, is a patient here. I'd like to see him as soon as possible." With a smile, the nurse said,
"I'm Nurse Pamela Walters,"
and ushered her into a hallway where there was a large old desk with one metal seat behind and another in front of it. The nurse consulted several lists before replying.
"I'm very sorry, Mrs. Stebbings, but no visitors are allowed for that particular patient."
Philippa's mouth dropped open. "Why ever not?"
"It doesn't give the reason, but it's underlined, so that looks like an order I don't dare disobey."
"Even for his mother?"
"I'm so sorry. I'd love to help you, but I can't."
Stunned, Philippa turned away from the reception desk and flopped onto the bench. She sat staring into space, unable to pull her thoughts together. Then suddenly, overcome with worry, exhaustion and frustration and completely out of character, she burst into floods of tears she couldn't stem. "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just so tired. It's been two very long days since I left Glasgow. I knew my son had serious burns." She was pressing her handkerchief to her eyes. "But now they're asking if he's always had a speech defect. The answer is he has never, ever had a speech defect. And I've come all this way to prove that. Now I'm being told I can't see him. What kind of cruelty is that?" Pamela was becoming alarmed, as this woman was so close to hysteria and swaying in danger of falling off the bench. The nurse came round the desk. Placing her hand gently on her arm, she said,
"Come with me, Mrs. Stebbings, and I'll see what I can do while you have a nice cup of tea. When did you last eat?"
The nurse in her was taking over from her imposed job of receptionist. "I had a coffee and a rock bun in Waterloo Station."
"When was that?"
"About 8:30 this morning."
"You must be ravenous. And how did you get here from Dover Station?"
"I walked."
"Oh, my goodness, you must be weak with hunger. I think you need more than a cup of tea."
This caring nurse put her arm round the unsteady woman and, in the canteen, seated her at the end of a very long table. The canteen was empty except for one lone nurse sipping a cup of coffee. The two nurses nodded to one another, but Nurse Walter's attention was distracted by a loud voice. "Sorry, nurse, lunches are over," announced the stout woman behind the counter. "Nothing more till supper time."
"I think you can make an exception for this lady."
"No exceptions." The nurse placed both hands firmly on the counter and leant in till they were face to face.
"This woman has been travelling for 48 hours with hardly anything to eat to see her son. She's in danger of fainting, perhaps vomiting, on your nice clean floor. Now find her something to eat, Dora, and find it quickly."
Even Dora didn't dare defy a command delivered so vehemently. Philippa exchanged an embarrassed smile with the other nurse, who grinned back with a wink, as if to say, "That's our Pamela." placing her knife and fork neatly together on the plate. Philippa said, "I'm sorry, I can't finish all these chips. I suppose they're used to feeding hungry servicemen, but it was delicious. It seems ages since I've seen two eggs on the one plate. At least I was able to eat both of them." I noticed you went out while I was eating. You were gone a while. So, can I see, Craig? By the way, I'm sorry. I don't remember your name.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. It's Pamela Walters.
It's a bit late, but pleased to meet you, Nurse Walters. You've been so very kind. I hope I wasn't rude.
Not at all. You were distraught and close to fainting, and I quite understand.
Well, what did they say? Surely they can't stop me seeing my son.
Craig's doctor said you could see him.
Philippa's face lit up.
Unfortunately, it's not the doctor who's stopping you.
She hesitated, aware of the question in Philippa's eyes, and trying not to offend this fragile woman, she had to tell her.
It's Craig. Thank you.